Also, Marty's going to be teaching for us today, so appreciate him doing that. So, Marty, we'll turn that over to you then.
It's okay. All right. Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here, to be in this Sunday school class. I appreciate Pastor asking me and giving me the opportunity to teach a lesson. I enjoy doing it, but I hate to have to do it for the reasons why I'm doing it, to fill in for Steve. But he's here this morning. He's over in Shannon's class, sitting with his daughter, and this is to enable him to free up some time for him to be able to spend some more time with Debbie and things like that, to keep one less thing off his plate that he has to worry about. So with that, and Brother Joe was talking about just a minute ago, talking about Missions Month, and I'm excited about our Faith Promise program that we have here. I can tell you that in my own life, when I look back on things that mile markers or things that have made a difference in my life, and for me and my wife, it made a tremendous difference. That's one of those things I look back on where I can see a change spiritually and change overall in our family. It's when we decided to do Faith Promise, and we were poor in the church mouse then, back in those days when we did it. We're not rich now, but it was a struggle, and we decided we were going to do $5 a week. And I can look back at that point and see how the Lord blessed our family and helped us and was with us. And it's just amazing. It doesn't matter the amount. It's just a matter that you're being obedient to the Lord. So I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do here through our Faith Promise program. And highly encourage everyone to be involved in it. And because, like I said, I can look back on salvation and Faith Promise. And when I decide to start reading my Bible, those are all, you know, milestones in my life where the Lord really worked in my life. So I'm excited to see that, and hopefully he'll do the same thing in our church family. So this morning, if you want to open your books, your Bibles, to the book of Nehemiah, that's where we're going to be for the whole lesson. This lesson right here is, I come up with it due to what Pastor had been teaching on Wednesday nights, and then Daniel, he preached, when Pastor was out, he preached a message about the same thing. So the Lord was, when I was doing my devotions as pastor, I was reading through this same book, and I just kept noticing this same topic or subject kept coming up over and over again. And when I do my devotions, I try to have a highlighter, and I look for things to highlight. And if I don't highlight something, I feel like I need to go back and reprint, and that I wasn't paying attention to what the Lord was saying, or I wasn't looking hard enough. So I try to look for something to highlight when I do my devotions, and I kept highlighting this same topic. So I taught in fourth grade for several years, and then was promoted to sixth grade. They asked me if I wanted to go over there, and I told them I would. They had a really pretty secretary that was working there. My wife, she was over there, so we went over there, and then Pastor combined the sixth grade with a youth department to create a middle school department. So that kind of left me without a podium at the time, but I'm glad Pastor did do that, because it really helps the sixth graders and the seventh graders mesh together, and hopefully we don't lose them. Because it's amazing when a kid gets to seventh grade, I mean, the FBI can't even find them sometimes. They just disappear off the face of the earth. So I'm excited about that and what he's doing there. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I pray that you'll help me. Lord, you know me better than anyone else in this room. And Lord, you know I need your help. I pray that you'll help me make this lesson plain, make it understandable. Help me to say the words you won't say it and nothing else. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for each person here and each family that's represented. Pray that you'll bless there. Lord, I ask you to be especially with Scott Martin, that you'll touch him and work in his life and help him and Leeson as they go down this road that you have them on now. Lord, I pray that you touch him and give the doctors wisdom. Pray that you continue to be with Summer, that you'll touch and work in her life, and be with Steve and Debbie, and Lord, just to give them grace as well. Thank you for, again, this opportunity. May you get honor and glory through all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. So I told you to turn to Nehemiah, so you stay there. But here's a a verse that helped me as I was doing this, as I think about this, especially when I read in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, "Now these things happen unto us for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So these things are written for examples. And I was thinking about that. I think about that a lot when I'm reading or studying through the Old Testament, that these are not just stories for historical sake or stories for entertainment sake or anything like that. They were given examples. So I try to find, when I read and study those things, examples for me and how I can make application to my own life. And part of the setting of Nehemiah was that Zerubbabel led the first group back in 538 BC. Ezra led the second group back in 458 BC, and then Nehemiah came along at 445 BC. So that's how the group and the people that was there in the time frame that Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, was written. And when I think of Nehemiah, I think of a great, great leader, because God used him to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And he did many great things while he was there, and he had many great attributes. I mean, he organized, he managed, he supervised, he encouraged the people, he met opposition, he confronted injustice, and kept going until the walls was built. And God used him in a great, great way. And so as I'm reading this, I'm thinking about these him being an example of a great leader, and how we can use these things in our lives. And it doesn't matter where we're at or what we're doing, we're always have a sphere of influence of leadership. But when saying all this about Nehemiah, all these great attributes that he had as a great leader, probably the best attribute that he had was his prayer life. Nehemiah was had a tremendous prayer life. He had a close walk with the Lord. And that was the thing that I kept highlighting when I was going through the book of Nehemiah, was Nehemiah was praying. And Nehemiah, he was praying this or he was praying that, and these different things. So today we're going to look at what the Lord spoke to me about and challenged me about, was Nehemiah's prayers. So that being said, his greatest prayer life, he lived and was 1 Thessalonians 5:17, praying without ceasing. Because if you go through the book of Nehemiah, you see at each and every turn, Nehemiah was praying about something. I'll bring out some points here in a minute, in chapter 1 all the way through, where Nehemiah was just praying. He was praying, he was talking with God, he was walking with him. He lived in a state of prayer. And this here challenged me. There's been different times in my life, and I want to live in a state of prayer where you keep a short list with the Lord and keep in connection with the Lord. And Brother Joe can attest to this, and the deacons, that when we went through the transition, whatever, we tried to live, and I encourage the deacons to live in a state of prayer, constantly be praying, constantly keep short lists, constantly be talking to the Lord about whatever's going on in our lives. Today we're going to look at how Nehemiah handled life when different things were thrown at him. You know, it seems like in life, as we go on, and in my life, it may not be the same in yours, but in my life, it seemed like I go from one thing to the next, one thing to the next, one thing to the next. You know, whether it's money or it's family or it's health or work or friends, there's always something happening in our lives. And we just go from the next thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next thing. Because, I mean, it changes as I've gone along. And you all realize this, that, you know, it's different when the kids are little and the kids are in high school and kids in college and kids are off married. And so I'm into those I've experienced those things. And it always changes, but there's always something that seems going on. And we're going to try to learn as an example from Nehemiah, from some different situations, how to handle life as it comes along. So first, let's look at the two ways that Nehemiah prayed. Nehemiah prayed two different ways. He prayed a long prayer and he prayed a short prayer. And We can see that one of his long prayers was in chapter 1, verse 4 through 10, was one of Nehemiah's long prayers. And then we look at chapter 2, and verse number 4, the last part of it, is a short prayer. So we got in chapter 1, Nehemiah's praying long prayers. In chapter 2, he was praying short prayers. And I can remember as I was growing as a Christian, I thought prayer life needed to be set apart, a block of time that I needed to sit down and seek the Lord. And if I wasn't spending quantity of time, it wasn't good enough. But as I've grown and through the Word of God and seeing how Nehemiah lives, short prayers are just as important as the long prayers. And if we're going to live in a state of prayer, we need to be able to pray these short prayers and not take them for granted when we pray these short prayers. We'll look at some of Nehemiah's here in a minute where he just was just a few words. But I believe prayer, as I've grown and understood the Word of God a little bit more, is it's more about the sincerity of the heart in your need. Now, there is times, and Nehemiah did it, to where he set aside and prayed for long periods of things and made long prayers. And other times, and I'll show you in a minute, I don't even think he was praying out loud, and he prayed short prayers. So, but we see here in Nehemiah, just a little side note in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 4, it says, "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed for before the God of heaven." One note that I've got to touch on, and I'm going to move on from it, is that part of Nehemiah's his prayer life, when in this verse right here, it said that he fasted. And fasting, as I found in my own life, I don't hear it mentioned much, but I think it is still very much applicable today. And in my own life, I can attest to fasting moving the hand of God. So I've seen the Lord do some amazing things in my own life. And sometimes he didn't do anything. He just gave me peace about it. He doesn't have to move, but he worked in my own life. And fasting truly, truly works. So I want to get off that, but I just couldn't pass that up because it has meant so much to me. But, okay, so let's look at some situations. So we see he prayed two different ways. He prayed long prayers, he prayed short prayers. Let's look at some situations that Nehemiah prayed for. Number one we'll look at is Nehemiah prayed when he got bad news. Let's look here in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, "And the word of Nehemiah the son of Hachil, whatever, came to pass in the month of Chisalua, in the 12th year that I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of the brethren, came, and certain men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. They said unto me that the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire." So we see there in verse number 3 is the bad news that Nehemiah received. And you know, we all in life, as we live life, are going to receive some bad news. It happens to every one of us. And it's a matter of how we handle it. So let's see how Nehemiah handled it when he received bad news. Verse number 4, "And it said, it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." And then here's his prayer as we look at Nehemiah's prayer for bad news. "And I said," verse number 5, "and it says, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth the covenants and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye trespass, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you return unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the utter part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Verse number 10. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, now let thy ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. Prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So we see here Nehemiah's prayer, and I've broken it down into four different sections. And we look at verse number 5, it talks about in the prayer in verse number 5, Nehemiah recognizes God for who he is. In verse number 5, he says, O God of heaven, great and terrible God, and keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandment. He is recognizing who God is, his holiness, his authority, his how he's in control, his omnipotence. He is recognizing who God is. So when Nehemiah got bad news, he prayed this prayer, and he prayed recognizing who God was. In verse number 6 and verse number 7, he went on to confess the sins. He confessed his sins. He confessed the sins of the country, of his people, and things. He went on to confess sins and to the Lord. And then verse number 8 through number 10, he prays the promises of God. And one of the things that I took out of that was, and it doesn't say it here, but for him to be able to pray the promises of God, he had to be a man of the word. He had to read God's word to know these things, to be able to pray them. So he had studied God's word, and he knew what they were, and he was praying God's prayers. He was praying back, Lord, this is what you've said. Lord, please help and deliver your people. You said you will gather them back. And then So he prays the prayers of promises of God, where God had promised to bring them back. And then verse number 11, he asked God to give him opportunity to use him. And it took me a while to see this point, but you look at it there, let me read it again. Verse number 11, it says, O Lord, I beseech thee, now let thy ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and the prayer of the servants who desire to fear thy name. Prosper, right here it is. Prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day. This is where he's saying, prosper me, Lord. He's asking for himself. And then how is he asking? He says, grant me mercy in the sight of this man. Who is this man? We see that in the next one. For I was the king's cupbearer. He was asking for the Lord to give him opportunities and to grant him mercies in sight of the king because he had that influence. He was the cupbearer. So He knew he needed to get the king's permission, the king's authority, to go back to do something for the Lord. So he was not only asking for God to do something, but he's also asking God to use him and give him opportunities to do something, to handle, to take advantage, or not take advantage, to deal with the bad news that he had received. So as looking for more examples of that, as I looked at this, it also, Lord spoke to my heart and through my studies of this, that for someone to be used of the Lord, you don't have to be in a full-time Christian service. You don't have to be on the pastoral staff. You don't have to be a full-time missionary. Nehemiah, this is a quote I got. I like this real well. It comes from J. Vernon McGee. It says, Nehemiah had a good government job in Persia. He was the cupbearer to the king. He needed to be a moral, honest man, or else he would be susceptible to bribery. He held the king's highest trust easily. Nehemiah could have been concerned about Jerusalem from afar and remained in Persia. But if he had, he would not have been recorded, had been in the record of God, and he would have never been, we would never heard of him. If Nehemiah hadn't chose to do something or wanted to do something, he could have been concerned from Persia. Man, I'm going to pray for those people in Jerusalem. We need to get something over and get something done. But he didn't do that. He asked the Lord to use him. But we see how, as an example there of Nehemiah being a full-time, not being a full-time service, he wasn't one of the priests, he wasn't the Levite and working in the synagogue or the temple at the time that Ezra had. But so we see how he was used of God and asked him to use him here. When he got bad news, he went to the Lord in prayer, he fasted and he prayed. And we see this is one of his long wear. And I ask myself, is when I get bad news, do I do the same thing? As an example, do I go to the Lord? Do I fast? Do I pray and set time apart to seek the Lord? Do I know enough of his word to help me to know what to pray? Do I rely on his word to give me confidence, to give me the authority to do things, to handle it, to know what it is there? Because God gives us that through his word if we're willing to look at it. So that was a long prayer. And now let's look at a different situation when he got bad news. Let's look in chapter 2. And I call this one here. First, we look at how he handled it when he got bad news. Let's look at how he handled it when he was surprised. And then he needed to hurry up and pray. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, "It came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of Artaxerxes the king, that the wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. And now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Therefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seest that thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of the heart. Then I was sore afraid." So just looking at that for a second, when he went into the presence of the king, he was supposed to be, it's supposed to be sunny and 70 in his life. You don't come in before the king with a sad face on. But that's the way he came in. The king says, "What is wrong with you? You're not sick, so what's wrong with you?" And it scares him because the king had the authority to kill him right there. Anybody that brought any kind of sadness or negativity around the king, he had the authority to just, that could have been it. And we realize that now because Nehemiah was sore afraid. In verse number 3, it says, "And the king and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city and the palace of my father's sepulcher lie in waste and the gates thereof are consumed with fire?" So we see here where Nehemiah, this is what Nehemiah had been praying for. This was the chance that he wanted. He just asked God, he said, "For this man, give me," he says, "grant him mercy inside of this man," in chapter number 1. So this is where he's at. This is where he said, "Why shouldn't I be sad? Where are my people's at? It's in ruins and things." In verse number 4, we see right here, it says, "Then the king said unto me, For what doest thou make a request?" So Nehemiah arrived. He got to this point that he had been praying for and fasting for and burdened for. And the king says, "Okay, what do you need, Nehemiah?" What's Nehemiah do? He prays. We see that right here. And it says, "So I prayed unto the God of heaven." He's standing before the king. He's already been afraid, thinking the king was going to kill him. I don't think that he had time to fall down on the ground and recite a long prayer and come up with these things. He had already kept a short list. He knew God's word. He'd been praying all along. And I can imagine Nehemiah standing there silently praying to the Lord, "Lord, help me. Give me wisdom." Because the king, when the king asked him a question, that was demanding an answer. So he had to come back with something pretty quick once the king spoke to him. "Well, Nehemiah, what do you need?" And he says, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." Sometimes we don't have a long time to pray. Things hit us like that, like Nehemiah. He said, you know, it come to him, and the king asked him what was going on, why he was so sad and things. And we see the importance of prayer, and we see how God used this prayer. Because after this, he granted his request and he gave him what he needed. And it's so important that we don't take it for granted that we talk to the Lord about everything and be willing to, even if it's just a very brief, quiet prayer or even a silent prayer to ourselves, the Lord knows our hearts, asking him to help us. Because I'm convinced that that's how Nehemiah prayed when the king asked him, right then and right there, Nehemiah, what do you need? What do you want? So he prayed those prayers. And that was just as important a prayer, I believe, because Nehemiah was seeking help to know what to ask the king as the long prayer in chapter number 1 to get him there. So we see that when he was surprised or needed help, he prayed prayers and prayed short prayers. So we see bad news, how he handled it, he prayed. When he was surprised or needed immediate help, he prayed short prayers. Now let's look at when he was ridiculed or criticized. And that's going to be in chapter number 4. There's some prayers in between here, but this is kind of where the Lord led me to as developing this lesson. And we'll jump back to some of them maybe here at the end if we have time. But so we look at when you get bad news or when you need help in a hurry. And now we're going to look at when you're ridiculed and criticized. Nehemiah chapter number 4, verse number 1 through number 3 talks about how they were ridiculed. Let me read this. And it said, it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that they had builded the walls, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. So we see there he mocked the Jews. He got mad, so he started making fun of the Jews or giving them a hard time, stirring the pot, causing trouble. And he spake before his brethren and to the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of heaps of rubbish that are buried? And then it says, now Tobias the Amorite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, a fox go up and shall break down their stone walls. So we see here when they're, we can see how they said, whatever they're, you know, what do they think they're doing? These Jews, they're going to build this up. What's going on? And they told the army, the authorities there, and then they also made fun of them, said, even if they do build anything up, even a fox could come along and knock it down. So, and then we look at, that's the ridicule, and then let's look at the prayer. Nehemiah prayed. It said, verse number four and verse number five, it says, hear, O God, we are despised and turned. We are despised. Turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquities. Let not sin be blotted out before them, before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we see here, this is how Nehemiah prayed. When he was ridiculed or criticized, he prayed. And I can tell you in my own life, there's times I've missed this where someone would ridicule or give me a hard time. I don't pray about it as I should. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I try to handle it in my flesh, and that's where I really mess up, is when I try to do anything in my flesh. But we see here where he says it in verse number 6, or in verse number 4 and 5, we see where he's praying to him. And let me just kind of paraphrase that as I was reading that. He says, Lord, please hear what they're doing. Hear what they're saying, and you handle it. Nehemiah didn't go after them at this time. He didn't go after them and charge them anything or wanted to fight with them or rebut what they were saying. He turned it over to the Lord. You know, you can be criticized for the stand that you take and for the things that you have, whether it's raising your kids or where you give your money. We're going through Faith Promise, and people, I've had family members like, well, why do you give all that much money, or why do you do that and this and that? And I think that's fine. You think what you want. And raising kids, they try to tell you how to raise your kids, and, you know, you spend too much time. I've been accused of going to a cult, and that's, you know, if this is a cult, I'm in it. So, but, you know, in different relationships and having priorities and things, how we're criticized. But the thing is these things in my life are convictions to me. I felt it a calling to my life to do them. Nehemiah was called to build this wall. And no matter what kind of criticism we face or what kind of ridicule we face, if the God has confirmed something in our lives and put a calling on it, we need to do it. In the face of criticism, just keep on working, because we see that's what he did. He turned it over to the Lord. He said, Lord, hear what they're saying, and you handle it. He didn't do anything about it. He turned it over. Well, he did do something about it. He gave it to the Lord. He gave it to someone that could handle it. So if we have, a calling on our lives that the Lord has told us that we need to do something, no matter what anybody else thinks about it, you just keep on doing it. And if someone gives you a hard time about it, you just turn it over to the Lord and let the Lord handle it. And we see that in verse number 6 of that same chapter. They just kept on working. And it says, so after that prayer, he prayed and said, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. In spite of opposition, in spite of criticism, Nehemiah was able to keep the people working and not get concerned about your criticism. Don't get concerned about the ridicule. If God's called you to do something, you just do what God's called you to do, and he'll bless. Just keep on working. So we see how Nehemiah prayed for ridicule and criticism. First, bad news, then he was surprised, and then when someone criticized him. Now, let's look at another prayer that he prayed when he faced something else was thrown at him. We see in chapter 4, verse number 9, it talks about, this is the prayer that they pray, but it's in verse number 7 and verse number 8, that they are threatened. So when they are threatened, some danger come up or some things that was trying to put fear in their mind, or they were really just threatened. It says, verse number 7, let me read it. And it said, it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the wall of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth. So the people around them were very mad. And it says they all conspired to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. So we see here that those people had got together, and Nehemiah had gotten word somehow through the Lord providing it to him that they were going to come fight against them. They were threatened. And we see here in verse number 9, it says, here's the prayer. It says, nevertheless, we made our prayers and we set a watch against them day and night because of them. So God doesn't expect us not to defend ourselves. They equip themselves for defense, and so we should equip ourselves with God's words to defend ourselves as well. That's how we as Christians defend ourselves, is through the Word of God. Nehemiah at this time, it says in verse number 13, it says they had swords and spears and bows. In verse number 16, they had spears and shields and bows. In verse number 17, it says everyone with one hand was wrought in the work, and the other hand held a weapon. So when they were threatened, they were prepared to defend themselves. I think that the Lord, we as Christians, the Lord doesn't always expect us to take things. He equips us to be able to defend ourselves when we have the Word of God in our heart. And the thing about it is even when they were threatened and things like that, it says we made our prayers and they made preparation for it. But the key to it is also they still kept on working. They didn't let anything stop them from the work that they had. Even in the face of threats, in the face of danger, they just kept right on working. They kept right on working. So we see how they handled in the face of threats. Now let's look at chapter number 6. And we'll look at, I call this one where they were in the face of fear. So they were threatened, and now we look at the face of fear in chapter number 6. And verse number 1 through 4 is talking about the trickery and things that Sanballat and Tobias was trying to do to trick Nehemiah and try to derail the work process and things like that. And it says, verse number 1, it says, it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobias and Geshem and the Arabs and the rest of our enemies heard that we had built the wall and that there was no breach therein, though the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some place in the village in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. And why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered after the same manner. So we see here in 1 through 4 where these people were trying to do harm to Nehemiah, and they sent to him 4 times asking for this. 4 times asking to meet. Sent a letter to them. And then we look at, and then we see how they even, that wasn't working, so they stepped up their game to even more. In verse number 5, it says, and when Sanballat had sent his servant unto me, like manner, the fifth time, and with an open letter in his hand. This time, when he came with the message, it was open. Before, this would lead you to believe that it was sealed. So it was open so everyone could read it, what was going on and what they were accusing the Jews of. And this was, we'll read right here what it says. In verse number 6, it says, wherein was written, it was reported among the heathen, and the Gashemith saith, that thou, the Jews, think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be a king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach, preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Now come therefore, and let us take counsel together. So they're making this accusation that Nehemiah is trying to be the king. And he's letting everyone see, and this is getting passed around for everyone to see. When a messenger bought it, they all could read it, and it was. And I imagine they were afraid it was spreading like wildfire. That Nehemiah was, they were making these false accusations. So we see where they sent this to him to try to fear him, or to try to fear him, try to put fear in him. In verse number 8, it says, "I sent unto them, saying, there is no such thing done as thou sayest, but thou frettest them out of thine own heart." Now, verse number 9, we see the fear. In the face of fear, we see right here is his prayers, what he prayed. And he says, "For all them that made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it not be done. Therefore, O God," here's the prayer, "O God, strengthen my hand." This is another short prayer where Nehemiah was praying, talking to the Lord, asking him to strengthen his hand. And I don't think at this point he was asking for physical strength, because the wall was already being built and he was supervising it. He was asking for mental strength, spiritual strength, to help lead the people, because the people were watching Nehemiah at this time. And you see in verse number 9, it said, "For they all made us afraid." So it wasn't just the people that was afraid. Nehemiah was afraid. He had the fear of what they were saying and what could come of this. We see that they were trying to use fear to stop him. But this wasn't written at the time, but it applies to us now. So this was an example of how you handle fear in the face of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and of a sound mind." I can't tell you how many times in my own life, when I've had fear in my life, that I didn't have to tell myself, this fear is not of God. 2 Timothy helps me with that, knowing that when I have fear, that it's not of God. It's my flesh or something else that's going on. But God doesn't give us that spirit of fear. And we see how Nehemiah handled it. He handled it with acknowledging his fear. And if we don't come to the point, because I've been in my own way the same way, we're like, "Well, I'm not afraid of that. This is not bothering me." And it really was. But we have to acknowledge that fear and acknowledge it enough to take it to the Lord in prayer and say, "Lord, I'm fearful. Lord, I need your help. I need you to strengthen me and to help me with this." And acknowledge it and tell the Lord about it. And I believe that's what Nehemiah did. "Oh God, strengthen my hands." He needed help. And I don't believe it was physical help he was asking for. He's asking for spiritual help and mental health to be able to handle this fear. And then here's the other part. It says in the next verses down, they did the same thing. They tried to call him in to come into the temple and stay. And it says, latter part of verse number 14, it says, "that thou would have put me in fear." So we see what they were trying to do. They're trying to stop the work from fear. And kept on and to keep it from being built, the walls being built, the gates being put up. And my time has elapsed. But look at the next verse. So he's prayed all these prayers and got to this point. In verse number 15, it says, "And so the wall was finished." In face of all this opposition, in face of all these circumstances, God was able to use Nehemiah to finish the wall. Because Nehemiah kept a short list with God. He kept a short list with God. He kept praying with God. He knew God's word. We saw that in chapter 1 because he knew what to pray and he claimed God's promises. And then he was constantly talking to God. He was living in a state of prayer. So this was the lesson I got from when I was studying and doing my devotions, and Pastor was talking about prayer and Daniel preached on it. So may the Lord bless it. May it be able to help you all. I know that it's helped me and challenged me, and I'm so thankful for the Word of God and how it's helped me. So just keep in mind, we need to live in a state of prayer, and that short prayers matter, and don't take them for granted. Always, always talk to the Lord about what's going on. And let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to come to you, Lord. Thank you for your word. I pray that you'll bless each person here. Bless the services follow. May you get honor and glory through all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming.